friends and countrymen, once again, my name is J.R. Radcliffe, and this is the initial podcast. Wait, what is this again? The initial reaction podcast. I'm J.R. Radcliffe.
Hang in there, you'll get it.
And you're J.P. Cador.
I am. That's my name. I work for Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, and I'm all around better at life than J.R. is.
I work for Lake Country Publications and now newspapers, and while I dispute your lousy claims, you may actually speak a little bit more clearly than me, but you should, because you're on TV. You're a famous TV personality.
Technically, that is the job, yes.
Yes, and you certainly have better hair than I do, given that mine is absent, so
more.
It would seem logical that you would also be a better speaker than
more
me.
More works, just more hair, that more works. Hair.
Yeah.
So what's going on, dude?
Yeah, I don't know, we haven't talked in a couple weeks. There's plenty to discuss. Of course, this was NBA All-Star Weekend, and the Bucks.
Next.
Yeah, pretty much most of the world, as it turns out, was watching Saturday Night Live's 40th special anyway. I don't know, maybe you were watching The Walking Dead or something.
I was watching SNL and feeding my child and falling asleep.
Very good. Well, the Bucks are still a hot topic, but before we get to more Bucks discussion with some news as of Monday here when we're recording this podcast, we'll start with prep sports. We are in the WIAA postseason at this point. The girls' basketball brackets were released over the weekend. The playoffs begin there February 24th. Wrestling regionals were held on Saturday. We've already had swimming sectionals. Swimming state comes up this weekend, boys swimming. And gymnastics is getting ready for their regionals and sectionals. So we are totally in the throes of the WIAA postseason. And wrestling, JP, we've talked about wrestling before. The state tournament is so much fun with the Ring of Champions and March of Champions, I guess they'd call it. One of your favorite events to cover, if I'm not mistaken,
correct.
Right?
It is the favorite event to cover. Saturday, February 28th.
Really? That's your number one of all the prep events?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, state wrestling, it's packed Kohl Center. The three mats going at once. Yes, it is by far my favorite event to cover.
So it's a little unusual how the layout works. There is a team wrestling, as most people know. It's a little different in other states, but there's team wrestling, which takes place at the UW Fieldhouse the first weekend in March. And then there's the individual tournament, which, as you just said, is the 28th. So they'll have the team sectionals on Tuesday, the 17th. And then, so that will get them a berth in the team state tournament in 2 weeks. And then later, they have the individual sectional 4 days later, which will get them into the individual tournament the following week. So they almost like take care of some paperwork, determine who's going to the team state tournament, and then take a week and a half off from that part of it to do the individual part of it. But what's interesting to me this year is there's a really big team sectional going on between Pewaukee and the Whitnall Greendale Co-op. It's coming up at Maguanago. The winner will go to the Division I state tournament. Whitnall and Greendale are co-oping for the first time this year. They are doing so in a fashion that has drawn the ire of some people, namely the Pewaukee head coach, Ed Kurth, who's been very outspoken about it. The idea being that he feels those two teams did not necessarily need to co-op, particularly the Whitnall side of it, and that they've sort of created at least a temporary powerhouse. This team did win the dual season in the Woodland Conference. Pewaukee won the conference tournament, but Whitnall-Greendale won the dual earlier this year between the two. And Ed Kurth feels like his team has worked so hard, they've built things the right way, and now here two schools come along, combine resources, and suddenly have a team that's capable of winning this team sectional with a chance to go to state. So it's a very controversial issue, and it's going to be really fascinating because one of those teams is going to state and one is staying home. I don't know if you have any thoughts about this, about co-ops in general. There's many, many, many parts to this issue, but it does seem like there is the possibility that when two schools co-op, they're gonna be, obviously they want to be stronger, that they could be strong enough to suddenly be the best team in the conference.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So I don't really know enough about Whitnall or Greendale's wrestling programs individually. So the only way that I can relate this would be to boys hockey, which is something that I played for 4 years and then followed ever since I got out. And co-op teams, I think, in hockey make way more sense because hockey is more of a niche sport. There are only, I believe, 90 teams this year in the boys' state tournament, which is right around where it has been. When I was in high school, I think it was 84 was the number. And teams kind of need to pair up. I mean, there's just a straight-up lack of facilities, of ice times, of resources to be able to pay for equipment. It's just it's a more select sport, I guess you could say. And so that makes more sense. But it's weird to me when I see teams like Catholic Memorial, who we played very competitively. All of my friends from growing up were on Catholic Memorial, and I was on Arrowhead. But it's weird to see them now, as strong as they were back in the day, to be paired up with somebody like Pius, or to see Kettle Moraine and Maguanago and Oconomowoc and St. John's all paired up. Obviously, Arrowhead has certain inherent advantages.
Yes, and that they have 1,000 students in each class or something.
It's getting there. It's getting there. So it's just, but it's just kind of weird when I see two teams that you would think would be self-sufficient, like Whitnall and Greendale, all of a sudden pair up.
Yeah, and it's not uncommon in wrestling, and it isn't just boys hockey. Gymnastics is coming up on their postseason. We've talked about that. Co-ops rule the roost there, and the last 4 years of a co-op with Franklin, Muskego, Whitnall, and Oak Creek, four very big schools on their own, have combined resources because there just aren't that many gymnasts. They've won the last four state titles. And the Burlington team that's taken second is co-opt with two or three other schools as well. So it is common in those other sports. It's not uncommon in wrestling either. Even in the Woodland Conference, where these two teams hail from, Whitnall and Greendale, but they're also Wauwatosa West and Tosa East are combined. New Berlin West and New Berlin Eisenhower are combined. And those are schools that are fairly sizable. Not as big as an Arrowhead or a lot of the big D1 schools, but big enough to potentially sustain a wrestling team. The problem is you get into a situation. Greendale was in this boat. They had some dwindling numbers. They were forfeiting a lot of classes. They would go to dual meets. There's 14 flights in a wrestling meet, and you would only get maybe six matches because there just weren't enough kids, and some of the kids they had just weren't ready. This happens to a lot of programs, which leads to co-oping. I think where Ed Kurtz's problem is this year, what he's really critical of is that Whitnall wasn't in a position where they were needing this assistance at all. And from my perspective, that's the fundamental hang-up I have with it, is a co-op is sort of a desperation move, and maybe not quite that strong, but a move you make when you really need some help, some assistance. Two teams combining resources because alone they'd be in trouble. So here you have a co-op that comes together, and immediately they're the top team in the conference, or at least close to it. I mean, I think this dual meet is going to be fascinating, but Kurth is furious about it because Pewaukee, the smallest school of any of these in the Woodland by a few students, is the only one of these major programs left that aren't actually co-oping, and he feels like more could be done to ensure that individual schools that they would be able to build their own program.
And so, like, Whitnall could have stayed on their own, but maybe Greendale gone to another program? Like, yeah, is there another, you know, maybe they would, could they join with the Tosa schools? I mean, I know Greendale and Whitnall are right next to each other, which is why the move probably made sense. But Wauwatosa East and West aren't that far away from Greendale,
right?
You know?
Right, I guess that's one possibility. And that's where it gets a little tricky. I mean, what is Greendale supposed to do?
How's Greenfield's wrestling program?
Well, right, and Greenfield was brought up, and Greenfield, they want nothing to do with this. Okay. They have their own program, and they don't want to be dragged into it. And they kind of were just by sort of insinuation and association, because they are next door to Greendale. And it would have made some sense because Greenfield, in the past, you could argue, maybe could have used the help. But they have a full lineup. They're good. They don't want to bring in kids that are going to take away varsity spots.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of Ed Kurtz's argument with Pewaukee. He's saying that you're taking varsity spots away from your own kids at Whitnall, even at Greendale, by merging these two programs together. But yeah, like, the idea is Greendale and Whitnall will merge for a couple years, maybe 4 years down the road. Greendale's numbers have built up because the program has had success and it's sustained, and then they break apart again, and Greendale's got a full lineup again. And that's sort of the rehabilitative sort of that's the explanation that John Quinlan of Whitnall has given me in talking about this. And in theory, I think that makes perfect sense. Now, in the short term, Whitnall's going to benefit, and the Greendale kids that are really good are going to benefit, and maybe next year they're not as good, and this year they really are, but it's touchy that way, because you could see 4 years down the line this would help Greendale. On the other hand, is this the right way to do it when you're creating a powerhouse for the moment? I don't know. I think it's a tough issue.
It also bears mentioning that none of this is going to matter on Saturday, March 7th or 8th. What are we at? March 7th, because Kekona is a beast.
Yes.
Kaukauna, as you have pronounced your own hometown.
Yes.
Qualified all 14 of their wrestlers through to the sectional tournament.
Yes.
So they've been ranked number one all year. Mm-hmm. They just won team state for the first time last year. And they're going to win it again this year.
Certainly for many programs in the state, just getting to the state tournament is a big deal, because there are a couple programs that are going to win. Kekona's probably the one.
Or just, you know, qualifying one or two guys to the state tournament.
Yes,
last year, Kekona qualified seven.
Yep.
They're probably going to do it again. They have 10 wrestlers out of their 14. 10
That's
of
incredible.
14 are ranked in the
state
right now.
Some schools don't have 10 wrestlers. And they have 10 who are ranked in the state. Yeah, you just did a piece that's going to run this week.
Tomorrow,
on
Tuesday.
Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. You can check
That's why
out.
I'm so knowledgeable.
Yes, on Sports Weekly. I am also a little bit knowledgeable because that is, in fact, where I went to high school.
And you spent so many hours in the gym. I mean, just...
yeah, because I was forced to, because I had to have gym class to graduate. So that's why I was in the gym. We graduated in there, but definitely not a wrestler. If I had been, I'd probably be better for it because their program is ridiculous. Jeff Machick, my former gym teacher, is one of the masterminds there.
He's one of the best. He's one of the good guys.
And they've sort of replaced Wisconsin Rapids as the it program in state wrestling. As it doesn't look like it's going to take a lot to beat the Ghosts. They won the state title last year for the first time. Actually, when I was in school, I think they went to the state final for the first time. They got clobbered by Rapids, but a lot of my friends got to compete in the state championship, and that was a big thrill then.
Yeah, Rapids, I mean, we just mentioned that they were good, but I think they won something like 23 out of 25 team titles in one stretch, so ridiculously good.
Yeah, so feel free to check out my article about the Pewaukee-Whitnall-Greendale situation on lakecountrynow.com. I still have trouble remembering my own website sometimes. We switched it up.
Hey, we forget about you too, don't
worry.
Yeah,
I know. So basketball then, of course, coming up. Anything that strike you over the, as you kind of look at the rest of the postseason layout here for these various sports, anything that jump out at you?
No, nothing does. I was pleased to see that my Germantown girls ended up winning the conference championship after they were one of the teams I visited in December. I think they got off, I want to say 9-0.
Yep,
start
they were
to the season,
for
maybe
a while.
10, and then I think like 10-1, they lost to DSHA. But they were just really good, just because obviously when you think of Germantown, you think of boys basketball. And I think they're still undefeated.
You should
by
still
the way.
Think of boys basketball. They're ridiculous.
And it was cool to see the girls doing well as well. So that was nice.
Yeah, Germantown and Arrowhead actually kind of locked in a really interesting battle for the 2 seed in that section. Waukesha West, the number one. Arrowhead did just beat West and also beat Germantown on a late 3-pointer, late middle of the year. So Arrowhead was able to get the edge, even though they have a couple more losses than Germantown. Arrowhead's schedule has been really tough. Their opponents, I think it was 81-8. Were the combined records of the teams that had beaten Arrowhead coming into this last week. So Arrowhead gets the edge of the 2 seed. Germantown has got to be the best 3 seed in the state, certainly in Division I. I haven't looked at all the divisions. And you really are struck when you look at these brackets. There are just some brackets, depending on how they're laid out, that are just not that difficult. And then there are some that are so, so loaded. And that Waukesha West, Arrowhead, Germantown one is a great example. I mean, the 6th seed is Hamilton, Sussex Hamilton. They got like 13 or 14 wins. That's your 6th seed. So it's definitely interesting to see where teams get placed and how tough their walk to state gets. And some brackets do 1 through 16 or 1 through 17. Some do pockets of 8, and some in the smaller divisions do pockets of 4. So it can get really, really interesting.
Do we have like an official prediction now that the brackets are out? Have you filled out your brackets?
I have not.
Champion?
I have not filled out.
Are you in a pool?
I am not in a pool as of yet. I'm going to guess that the majority, well, I like Milwaukee King and girls basketball. I'm going to guess the majority of the state champions come from outside the Milwaukee area, with the exception of Division II. I've seen Milwaukee Pius play, and I just don't know if there's a team out there that will beat them. Pewaukee came really close the last time those two teams met. Pewaukee's exceptional. I just don't think there's going to be a team, though, that will beat them. I think that's going to be your state champion in Division II. Just a great defensive team.
I want to see Milwaukee King win both titles. I want them to win,
and that could happen.
Girls and boys.
That's a very real possibility. I think Milwaukee King on the boys' side, If you think somebody's going to knock off Germantown, that's got to be one of the teams that is capable of doing it. We don't know a whole lot about Stevens Point up in the north, but those are your 3 teams that I think everyone is looking at.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah. So the Milwaukee Bucks have made some news lately.
Yeah, that's happening, huh?
We had All-Star Weekend this past weekend. We saw Brandon Knight in the skills competition get edged out.
I was glued to the skills competition.
You were not
even kidding. No, not
really?
Even kidding. I watched pretty much the whole thing.
I definitely don't watch that. But it's interesting because it used to be the dunk competition was kind of the centerpiece. It still is treated like it is.
That was
the highlight of the night.
Yeah, there was their finale.
But do you think it's as big, as fun to watch as the 3-point competition?
Well, this year was great. Yeah, I think the 3-point competition was great too. I don't know if it was the presentation or maybe just the players involved, but I think this year was just a lot better. I think there was more interest. I also think that having 2 Bucks involved in whatever
helped shenanigans. Your interest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
But no, I watched basically all of Saturday night. I watched 0 seconds of the All-Star game, and I watched a little bit of the Rising Stars game on Friday night.
Okay.
But that's more interest than I normally have, and I think it's probably just because of the 2 Bucks. But Brandon Knight did really, really well. He made it to the finals of the skills competition, almost won it. Giannis missed his first dunk, and that just kind of deflated his chances from there. I mean, he had no chance after he couldn't get it in three attempts. And his second dunk was weak.
Yeah.
It was weak. It was just the Nassis throwing it to him.
I think he was waving the flag there. I really wanted to see him, like, jump over a Greek statue. He said that Greece would be involved in some way, his home country. I really wanted him to see, like, the Nike of Samothrace to throw a cultural reference at you. It's in the Louvre in Paris.
What in the world did you just
say? It's Winged Victory is the nickname of this statue. It's, like, basically it's lacking a head now because erosion or something. But it's got wings. I would have loved to have seen him jump over a sculpture of that. That might have been a little highbrow for NBA skills competition weekend. But disappointing to see him kind of flame out there. But obviously we've talked about the Bucks before and how exciting they are right now for this town, and it's just going to build, man. It's going to be a really exciting, and the amazing thing, and we've said this before too, the thing about the Bucks that's so amazing is so many of the major problems that they faced last year, they're still facing them this year too. Jabari Parker going out with an injury, guys getting hurt here and there. Ersan Ilyasova has not been anywhere near what they thought he would be as far as contributing to this team. And then there's Larry Sanders, who is supposed to be one of their top
who?
Guys. Who?
Former Bucks center Larry Sanders.
As of Monday morning, it looks like Larry Sanders is going to be bought out, or at least there's movement toward that. What do you think of that? I mean, what in the world?
Yeah, well, first of all, just talking about the team in general, they are facing a lot of the same problems. It helps that the seventh-seeded team in the East right now is 22-30.
Right.
So even the seventh-best team is 8 games under 500.
7.5 behind the Bucks.
Yeah. I think the top six in the East are pretty decent. Normally it's like, you know, the West is infinitely better than the East. I think this year it's maybe not even, but it's a lot closer than it has been in the past.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's nice. Larry. So this is a really deep issue,
Larry,
for a few reasons. I think the move itself is a win-win. I think it's perfect for the Bucks. Just you need to cut ties with him. He's not going to give you anything. You can't trust him in the locker room or on the court anymore. And I think for Larry, it's a good move as well, just because he's become, whether he wanted to or not, he's become a distraction, and he carries a lot of baggage with him, especially in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win-win. Now, the problem comes in for me when people said that they started to feel bad for Larry and that this was sad.
Yes, you were pointing this out on Twitter.
I was. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is the $11 million contract. I think that kind of gets dismissed because, one, money can't buy happiness, and two, everybody assumes that the NBA lifestyle is just, you know, perfect, flawless, and, oh, I'd do anything for $11 million. I don't think that's the case.
I do feel like money would buy me happiness.
Some,
so
yes.
You know.
Just a little bit.
A little bit
even
of money would buy
like
me happiness.
Money for lunch.
Or daycare. I mean, that's all
I
ask.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Daycare. okay. Really distracted now.
Yeah. But you're saying if he's making that much money, maybe he can get some help for the issues that he
has.
Yeah,
and money isn't the biggest thing for me. So that's kind of where I was going, was that money isn't the biggest thing. Like, I get how $11 million seems nice, and obviously it would be ridiculous for somebody like us, like a normal person, because when you think about it, like, your goal for retirement, you know, that you keep reading about,
right,
like, maybe $1 million. Like, you want to try and get $1 million saved for retirement. Obviously, $11 million per year, yeah, I think that could make us pretty happy. But
sure.
For me, the biggest problem when people start to feel sorry for him or anything like that is that almost all of his problems, I believe, and nobody knows this except for Larry, I believe all of them have been self-inflicted. I don't feel any sympathy for a guy who decides to do drugs and get in bar fights and become a permanent distraction. And it's not, I mean, look at the Gary Neal incident where they were shouting at each other in the locker room.
Right.
And Gary Neal is not the moral compass by any means. But still,
the Bucks have had a few of those guys.
Yeah, but when he's yelling, you know, I earned my money, why don't you try it sometime? There's a reason for that. And
yeah,
I'm sure that he wasn't the only player on the team that felt that way. So the biggest problem for me, again, the guy does drugs, all of a sudden he pulls out, oh, I'm a big believer in medicinal marijuana. That's great, but you didn't even say that that's what you're using it for. You just got caught using it. He just came out and said how much he supports it, and then says, well, it's, you know, it's legal in 2 states, and there's just a stigma around it, and I don't think it's fair. Listen, you idiot, it's illegal. Even if it wasn't illegal, your team, your contract says you can't do it.
Right.
So I fail to have sympathy when it comes to stuff like that.
And I understand that. I don't have sympathy for him particularly. I think it's a slippery slope with marijuana because for whatever reason that is looked at, well, for good reason, I guess, looked at differently than just drugs. If somebody's got a drug problem, marijuana problem is seen a little different by most people. I definitely think
it's illegal.
It is illegal, yeah, and it's in your contract, and you can't do things that are illegal.
It's like if I get caught doing 110, I'm not going to ever, like, you know, right. Guys, I really think the Autobahn's a great idea, and I think, you know, it's just a stigma against
the
driving
idea
fast.
Of the Autobahn.
Like, listen, you idiot, you just went 110 on the highway.
I think the thing that actually, for me, is a little weird is the idea that this was such a bad signing that's being kind of slinged in the direction of John Hammond. That,
yeah.
What a huge mistake the Bucks made. By signing this guy, and I guess it was a risk, no doubt, but I'm trying to remember the chorus of people saying this was the worst signing in the history. I mean, I feel like bad signings are when a guy's got injury history or a guy has known issues and you sign him to a big deal, and obviously we knew a little bit about Larry Sanders before this, that he was an odd duck, so to speak, but we didn't really know how deep those issues went at the time, and so if you sign somebody in spite of things that you know, would make you think otherwise, then that's a bad signing. For me, I just don't know if they could have seen this coming. It was a disaster for sure, but I don't know if that's on the Bucks per se. Maybe they should have waited a year to sort of see how he matured and developed.
Yeah, I mean, there were some people out there who were talking about it being a bad contract just because the contract was basically awarded to him based on his defensive performance,
right.
And that's never really something that you can build a whole team around as your franchise player. I mean, obviously, good teams play good defense, but it was kind of... It was weird. It wasn't a bad signing at the time. And then, you know, then he holds his press conference at the Boys and Girls Club and donates backpacks and, you know, donates a scoreboard and everything. So it's like it seemed like such a good idea at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it went downhill so quickly that somebody was saying, I can't wait to see the 30 for 30 on it. You know,
and also one and a half years from that contract. That's amazing.
And somebody else mentioned, you know, maybe he's burnt out from basketball. That, yes, he's getting paid to do it, but that doesn't mean he loves playing it. You know, we see it now in the NFL too with guys walking away. John Moffitt, former Badger, left money on the table in I think Seattle. He played for Denver as well, that he walked away. But the thing with Larry Sanders is he didn't even start playing until I think he was a junior in high school,
right?
You know, and then he went to VCU, so he's been playing basketball for like 7 years total.
So if you're burned out, I mean, that's like how long it takes for me to get burned out playing a particular video game. Like, okay, yeah, I'm finally done with NHL 97.
Are you really?
Well,
no. You could be though.
NHL 96, 97 on Sega Genesis. That was I will play. If I had that in front of me right now, I'm playing it.
No, NHL 94 for Super Nintendo.
Oh,
clearly.
Wow, you're going back further than I'm willing to go. I'm just
and I'm
there.
Younger too.
I know, that's impressive. 96 for
94.
Me. 96 for me.
Dino Cicerelli, Detroit.
Oh my
Red
gosh, Rams. I was the Legion of Doom. I was always the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, gross.
Lindros, Renberg, and LeClaire, man.
And you could never win. Gee, I wonder why.
What do you mean I could never win? I won every year. I lost like two games a season.
But when it comes to Larry,
yes, we digress.
The biggest disclaimer that I do need to get out there so that I make sure I don't get a first class ticket straight to hell is that we don't know everything, and that a lot of people have brought up maybe there's like some serious mental health issues. Obviously, if that's the case, one, I feel terrible for the guy. You don't want any, I mean, that's such an obvious statement, but I feel like in Twitter land it needs to be said that obviously I feel bad for the guy if that's the case, and I don't know how badly it has affected him. If that, you know, maybe that does make him a more angry, more aggressive person who starts bar fights. That sucks. You shouldn't really be starting those, but
right.
But we don't know how much that's the case. So if that is the case, well, then he gets a little more slack on all this stuff. Still not much. I mean, I don't think, you know, there's I don't know how many people are pressuring you into smoking pot and putting you in those situations for bar fights. You shouldn't be in those situations, whether you're fully competent or not. So
yeah.
I don't know. There's a huge disclaimer on it, but basically until I hear otherwise, he's not my role model.
Sure.
Can I just go ahead and say that?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that will never come to light is how the organization handled it. Let's say he does have some mental illness or just various other problems that we don't even know about. Did the organization handle it? Well, we'll never know because there is no right answer there. So that remains to be seen if it's all on Larry or all on the Milwaukee Bucks. But still, the Bucks are happening right now, and I know I think they're back in town Thursday, if I had to guess off the top of my head. I think that's
Thursday
right.
Thursday or Friday.
Yep.
Against the Nugs.
Yeah, they'll be definitely fun to watch. You're right. In the Eastern Conference, there's no team really like them. They're those five teams ahead of them that are really considered the haves of the Eastern Conference, and then there's all the losing teams below them. So
there's a lot.
There really are a lot of bad teams. I mean, but even still, you look at, like, I wouldn't be afraid to play Chicago or Toronto.
I'm terrified.
Well, I mean, they're going to beat the Bucks, but I just wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't guarantee that. If it was Atlanta, Toronto, or Washington, I wouldn't guarantee that they would beat Milwaukee at all.
Yeah,
I think they could definitely win, and Milwaukee has proved that by beating Toronto recently.
Yep. In Toronto, no
yeah,
less.
But the problem with Chicago is that, A, they will never have a home court advantage.
That's
because
true.
There will be
That's
more
true.
Bulls fans than Bucks fans in the crowd.
Okay.
And B, they played them so many times where Chicago isn't overtaken by this newfangled Bucks lineup. Same with Cleveland.
Right.
I mean, especially, I trust LeBron in the playoffs. I'm sorry, I hate to say but I do.
Of course.
So, Atlanta, Toronto, Washington, bring it on.
Yeah.
But Chicago and Cleveland terrify me.
Chicago, Derrick Rose will be injured by then, so that won't be a problem.
Nice. And it's not a huge deal in the grand scheme of things because they're not going to win the championship this year, but a Bucks playoff series victory would do so much for the future of this team.
Yeah, you're
right.
Would
do so much goodwill for the vibes and thoughts going on with this team, especially when you consider that next year you're adding an all-star free agent in Jabari Parker.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
it's going to be a fun time.
Winning playoff series would be so huge, which is why the playoff seedings, I'm praying that they work out in the Bucks' favor.
Yeah, you're right. That Chicago matchup, which is how it would be if everything ended today, would be an interesting case. So before we go, I wanted to get your take on a Packers story that surfaced a little while back. Mike McCarthy ceding some of his play calling duties.
Nice word.
Yeah,
that's a good journalist word.
It is
there.
A good journalist word. Yeah,
nobody ever uses it.
CEDING.
Yeah, nobody ever uses it in everyday life.
I know,
but that won't stop you from printing it.
You do like to make fun of my vocabulary. That's what I do. I should be.
And that's what I do. I write at a third grade level.
That's correct.
Me and USA Today.
I'm supposed to write, I think, at a sophomore in high school. I'm not sure. I'm supposed to be a little bit ahead.
Can they
of
read a sophomore?
I never could until. I was at least in college, but Tom Clements, the offensive coordinator, is going to be now associate head coach, taking some of those responsibilities on. Actually, JP, I feel really strongly about this. I think this stinks. I think that Mike McCarthy is a good play caller. Not, you know what? I think he's a great play caller.
Whoa.
And there's
Whoa,
proof in
great
the,
has just been dropped.
Great has been dropped. There's proof in the pudding. I keep saying this, but there are two franchises that have been to the last six playoffs. One of them is the New England Patriots. The other is, of course, the Green Bay Packers. There's proof that this team, whatever they're doing, has worked time and time again. And opportunity is so important in the NFL, where anybody can beat anybody. And when you get to the playoff level, that's true. Anybody can win. So I don't understand why there has been this chorus of people who feel like he needs to lose the play calling duties. I don't know if Green Bay took that into consideration or if they really evaluated this independently. My guess is they probably did, or this would have happened sooner. But I really get irritated with the sense that Mike McCarthy is a bad play caller. I think he's a brilliant play caller. And maybe there are other things in the way, I don't know. But I worry that this is going to be a problem for Green Bay.
I'm okay with it with one caveat. And you'll hear it after the break.
Oh, that's not true.
No.
This is a podcast.
But it wasn't that good?
It was.
Like, I could totally
so
do that radio
so
thing.
So when I do big words, that's the newspaper thing, and now you're doing, like, the
do
radio
teases.
TV thing?
I'm fine with it with one caveat, that it only takes effect in the playoffs.
Really?
In the regular season, Mike McCarthy's fantastic. 30, 40
yeah,
points
but he doesn't
a game.
Forget how to call plays in the playoffs.
Have you watched him in the playoffs?
Sure.
Every time, their offense has disappeared. Think about that. Their playoff losses in the last 3-4 years.
That seems pretty, like, that just seems like a very small pool to choose
you
from.
You talk your nothingness comments with big words. I'm going to look up
look,
their
no
playoff
doubt.
Scores.
No doubt. Outside of the one run to the Super Bowl when I thought their offense was 100% clicking on all cylinders. Well, that's not true. In the Bears game, maybe it wasn't. But they've won two playoff games in the last 3 years. I know they've had some disappointments, but still, they're going up against the best of the best on defense. They're going up against teams that are scheming at their absolute, you know, this is the biggest game of the year for them. They're not going to be clicking every single time they're out there.
You're not clicking.
I'm not clicking. Thank goodness, because our last podcast, there was clicking throughout. So I'm glad that we finally have some good audio this time around. Assuming we do, since I don't know that for sure until we stop talking.
All right, you see the scores popping up on the screen.
I do.
You know what's going on.
Look, why are you even writing this down?
Because I can't remember things.
No.
All right, against Seattle, 28-22 final score. Year before that, San Francisco, 23-20. Year before that, San Francisco, here's your outlier, 45-31.
31 points is good enough to win a playoff game.
And the year before that, 37-20. Listen.
Listen, I don't really...
No, you listen.
Okay, you tell
listen.
Me. Tell me.
Mike McCarthy is fantastic. Don't fix what isn't broken. I don't even like the move. I just wanted to go against you. And I think that in the playoffs, there is a valid argument that they haven't shown up offensively in the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, I mean, look against Seattle, too. It was Mason Crosby that got him points.
Yes,
it wasn't
you're right.
their offense.
You're right. Well, and obviously that this isn't what will happen because you're not going to change something that dramatic for the playoffs. But what you're saying is maybe they make this change knowing that at the end of the year they'll have the right people in position for the playoffs.
Yeah, and if it was me, I wouldn't have done it. I liked Mike McCarthy. I think there is something to be said for playoff failures right now, though.
I guess.
Of kind of switching things up.
Yeah, I still feel like they'd be in the Super Bowl if not for a very simple play. They had the game. The game plan won them the game, and the players lost it. That's how I will always look at the NFC Championship.
Very well
game.
Put. That's not even sophomore level. That was that was good.
That's if I'm a talk radio personality. That's my premise. Everyone has a premise that they work from.
Nice.
That's the premise. That
nice,
I
bro.
Yeah. So outside of Kakana Wrestling, what else can we expect on Time Warner Cable?
Oh my
this
god!
Week?
What can't you expect? Huh?
I can't expect a lot of things, JP Cadorn, when you're
that's
running
true.
The show. But...
There's a story from Signing Day on the Badgers assistant coaches, which now will need to be tweaked after the departure of Mr. Thomas Brown. The Packers assistant coaches and the play calling switch, that will be on there as well. And then I forget what else, but that's about it. It's a majority.
All right. On the Preps Alcove, my weekly column at lakecountrynow.com, you can find a write-up about the seating meetings coming up. Well, for the girls, they're now in the rearview mirror, but the boys coming up where I thought some of the projections would fall. My bracket ball, if you will. My clever play on words, because we always need a play on words involving the word bracket. So wrote that last week and took a look at the wrestling the week before that. Really excited to cover wrestling sectionals. It's a lot of fun because you get these wrestle back matches where the winner goes to state and the loser stays home. And, you know, in these 6-minute pockets and it's boom, boom, boom. All these kids that all they want to do is get to state. It's a lot of fun to cover a sectional, so we'll have coverage from the February 21st event.
I remembered another story.
Tell me.
Wisconsin Badgers basketball team.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, I went there on Friday. I forgot about that.
They're amazing.
So that's coming up.
Yeah.
They've
been
that.
Fun to watch. Dismantling Illinois.
State wrestling next Saturday.
February 28th.
That's
my correct.
Favorite event of the year.
Yep.
I can't go.
Why not?
I'm going to spring training.
No!
I know. The
You're
one,
going to spring training?
The one thing that could keep me from state wrestling is the Milwaukee Brewers and Adam Lind.
That's
what's keeping me.
Adam Lind is keeping me from spring training. Adam Lind and his bad splits against lefties are keeping me.
Well, technically, it's Bob Uecker because we lined up a half-hour interview with him down there.
Are you going to one-on-one interview him?
No.
Oh.
No.
Somebody more famous than you is.
Yes. The four times Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year.
I guess that qualifies.
Technically, he's the reason we're going down.
Got it.
I'm just kind of a pawn in that game.
Well, we're going to have to do a podcast via satellite when you're at spring training, because I would love to know. I've never been, and I would love to see it for myself and hear what you have to say.
So me talking about it will solve that
it's
problem?
It's a living vicariously thing. Vicarious. There's another word.
You're just the worst.
I'm a wordsmith.
All right,
I'm
stop
a slinger,
word dropping.
A slinger
just
of words.
End the podcast.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We will try to do better next time or something. Somebody has that expression. Is that
whatever.
Us? Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. We'll catch you again on the Initial Reaction podcast
later
on.
Goodbye, friends.